The Lord just helped to set up this afternoon session, because usually I'm not a scripted speaker. And so, I mean, I've tried with notes. I've tried for the past 10 years. It just doesn't work. I've tried to be organized. I've tried hard. And he says no. And he actually told me, Valerie, the notes are for you. So usually it's go stand and I'll tell you what to say. And so it's usually scary. Yes. And I was thinking, okay, Lord, there's a theme. At least there's a theme, unbroken fellowship. So give me something. Just give me something. It's like, yep, you're taking the lamp with you. Okay. Give me something. Just give me a scripture. Give me something. Oh, go buy some stuff. That's usually how it goes. And then I stand and he does what he wants. So please just remember how it started, how Helen got us to, you know, just get ready for the messy. I usually call it holy chaos, in the sense that it might look like there's no plan, but there's a plan. I may just be finding out what the plan is, but there is a plan. There is a plan. Thank you, Becca, for your, you know, the word you shared. I was actually telling you the part that really, really got me. Thank you so much. And can we just take a moment and appreciate the person who's next to you? But I was just, let's just appreciate one another. So I've got some items here that I'll just be setting up. Because we're speaking about unbroken fellowship. And I guess we're going to find out what that looks like. And so I like what's already happened, because it's like, let's just do whatever the Lord wants. And that's what works for me. Yemi, please come help me. Could you open that up, please? Just so I can focus. So we're going to go into Father's living room. Go before the throne of grace. The place that we obtain mercy and grace to help us in time of need. And so this is, of course, the welcome mat. Hats are mended here. We're safe here. No fear here. No fear, no shame. Instead, the very thing that's been broken gets to be fixed, gets to be repaired. And you don't get to bring perfect things in here, because the perfect one, Christ Jesus, is right there. And we are supposed to come with all of our brokenness. The one who was tested and tempted like us but didn't sin is right there, waiting for us to bring our own stuff and our own mess for him to make it beautiful again. I'm just going to take this out and place that there. And yes. No, that's fine. Thank you. I think the rest can go back. Thank you. I need this. Okay, so I think I've got everything. Ha! Unbroken fellowship. Holy Spirit, have your way. All I have so far was that the lamp was meant to be plugged in. And then even as I'm speaking now, the light isn't on yet. It works. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, this right here represents us. This lamp right here. Look at that. That's, you know, I'll put it this way so everyone can see. Jesus, the shepherd, the good shepherd with his sheep, doesn't let anyone go missing. Always has his eye on them. And so that's why I'm saying, let this lamp here represent you. I want you to think of it as you. You with him, you and him. And then, you know, this lampshade, the colors are supposed to be, you know, the colors of the tabernacle. And who dwells in you? You are the temple. We are the temple. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Truth? Everyone agree? Yeah? So that's why I'm saying, let this be you. But even as I'm standing here, I just feel the Lord saying that this is who we are, made in his image and his likeness. made for fellowship with Him, made for oneness with Him. But this is how we started off knowing ourselves. Without the light coming on. Plugged in but not working. Because we were in truth made in the image and likeness of God. Let us make man in our own image, says the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, I believe. So please bear with me today. Usually sometimes I even have scriptures. And so I thought, Father, you're really pushing it today, because I don't even have a scripture. He's like, just go. Let's tell a story. So I'm playing this by ear, so you might be in it. Let's see how this goes. But we are made in His image and likeness, made one with Him, spirit to spirit, breathed out of Him into the body. Because when you think of yourself created by God, easily we look at the fully formed person, spirit, soul, and body all in one, and we think, yeah, that's what God was saying when He said, let us create. But no, it didn't happen all at once. There was, may I just have three ladies, please? Anyone? Please, 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 please. One more. Thank you very much. Could you just stand this way and face them? Yeah, I'm just going to come down now. Yes. Please come. Just stand. So, usually this is you. This being you is, this is your spirit, your soul, and your body. Can we wave at them? Because you see, exactly, hi me. And when we think of us and we read that scripture, we think, oh yeah, God made me. No, no, no. God made me. Spirit. God is spirit. And in Genesis chapter 1, He made me in His image and likeness. The part of me, the part of every one of us that really truly looks like Him. Because you see, I don't look like Him this way. You don't look like Him this way. He later came and then formed body from the ground. Do we all agree? Are you tracking with me here? So He formed body and then He breathed in spirit that He had formed in Genesis chapter 1. He breathed in and then you got your soul, because your soul is the unique part of you that nobody has. So this part looks like God. This part looks like your parents or your twin. And this part, sorry, is you. This is the only part that is uniquely you. Nobody else has this part. When we talk about mental health, it's in here. Do you understand? When we talk about the unique characteristics that you possess, it's in here. That part, like God. That part, like family. So sometimes you meet someone and you say, you remind me of my friend. This is just too much. But your friend is 6 foot tall. And I don't know, maybe I'm trying to think of something so far up. But let's just go 6 foot tall. How do they look alike? What you're saying is your soul, the way you manage you, the way you do you, reminds me of the way that person manifests who they are. You're saying to that person, your soul looks like, but it's not the same. So even if twins can say, you know, they share some things that sometimes you're thinking, you test some things and you wonder, which twin was this? You don't make that mistake with the soul, because the soul is you. And then your spirit actually is the real you. This is the real you. God is spirit. You are made in the image and likeness of God. And so you hear people say, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Because your soul was given to you. What does this have to do with unbroken fellowship? When God made us in his image and likeness, and I said the lamp would be you, he made us in perfect order. Everything was working. I mean, think about it. Adam and Eve must have been just amazing. I don't think we know what humanity really looks like, because all we have experienced is humanity in brokenness. None of us here really knows. I can imagine Adam's grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I mean, they live so long. They all kind of met each other hundreds of years apart. And they probably would go to him and say, Grandpa, tell me. Or, you know, Dad, tell me. Tell me about what it was like in the garden. Tell me about what it was like to walk with God. Tell me about what it was like to talk with God. Because you see, after the fall, nobody else experienced that. And then comes Jesus, the one who said, you know, who came to redeem us, the one who came to give us back what we lost, the one who came to pay the price, the one who he gave his life. He took our place, so that it was pretty much, you know what, because this is the humanity side of you, I'll just do this. I'll come in a body. I'll have a soul. But then, you know, he was still God. When he struggled in the garden, which part of him do you think struggled? His soul was extremely grieved. He never struggled with who he was. He knew who he was. But his soul grieved. His body sweated blood. Why am I putting it this way? So we catch it, so we get it. Do you understand? Because for you to understand connectivity with God, you need to understand that this is the part of me that is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that does fellowship with him, even though this one may be struggling with something or the other, and this one may just not be in the mood. How do you explain that? It happens. In my soul, I'm not in the mood. In my body, I'm achy. And then in my spirit, our spirit is always excited to be connected to God. As in, he's ready to do whatever what Father wants. This one is like, let's do this, let's do this. This one might be like, I can't be bothered. This one is just like, I'm not even moving from this chair. So a lot of times it's two against one. Two against one. Have you ever felt like, Lord, I want what you want, but I can't. I feel like I can't. The problem is usually here. What do I feel the Lord is saying to us today? Don't be moved by these two. Don't be moved by these two. When you know that you are a spirit being, and the word spirit might be scary to some, because spirit is usually maybe spooky. But guess what? Holy Spirit was called Holy Ghost. So even if, it even gets spookier, right? But spirit to spirit, this is what happens when you get born again. The Bible says, whoever is born of God is one spirit with him. And so somehow we become merged as one. We don't do life ever apart. And yet there's the deception that we can be without God as children of God. But how are we seated in heavenly places? In Christ. How are we ruling and reigning and having dominion, as we were told in Genesis chapter 1? If not that we are already bonded this way. And so you might wonder, but what does that mean? Because, hey, you have to go to work. You have to do regular life. How do you maintain fellowship? Because it doesn't make any sense. Okay, fine, I'm in heaven doing whatever the heavenly things are. You know, because sometimes you think your spirit is just a life force that is keeping the body awake and moving. That's a lie. Did God create man, male and female, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28? He even said they were good, and he blessed them. He didn't create them here. Spirit was formed. Rather, spirit was made. Chapter 2, body is formed. And then soul manifests on the scene. You came. So these days, how does it happen? Spirit was already created. Parents are making bodies now. That's all they do, producing bodies. Does that make sense? DNA, body cells, body parts, all of that is just the principle of body, creating body. Let me put it to you this way. The next body out after Adam was formed out of a body. Eve came out of Adam in the context of the principle God had put in place that after he had made, done the first one, everything else would come out of man, you know, it would be man out of man. So Eve came out of Adam. After then, they produced children. This part continues to be formed. There seems to be an automatic principle that when there is a body formed, soul, because that's the true identity. When I say identity, that is the person's own personal, well, personality, characteristics, your mind, your will, your emotion, your intellect. So a spirit then gets a soul to go with it. Is this making sense? Can we all say, I am a spirit? I am a spirit. Because if you don't remember this, the world tells you that this is you. We live for this. We do everything for this. And then we wonder why I feel disconnected from God. Because the only way to stay connected is to do this. Please turn. So, spirit to spirit, you face God. You get born again. You're one with Him. You're connected with Him. This is what you do. You're beholding Him. Do you understand? In spirit. Because when you're worshiping, sometimes, have you ever got lost that you lost track of time? You forgot where you were? You literally had to, where was I again? Because you came on the scene. You took the back seat. You turned, can you put your hand on her shoulder and did this? Follow the leader. That's what happened. Literally, in that moment. And this is how we are meant to live life. Where you, in the truth of who you are, you lead. So if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm not saying the body is a bad thing. But usually, body can only engage with spirit if soul is in line. If your soul is, you know, submitted to the Spirit of God, because your spirit is submitted to the Spirit of God. So going forward, anything to do with your spirit is oneness with Spirit of God. And so we have your soul turned in submission. Wherever spirit is going, your soul will go, your body would go. And I feel that the Lord is saying to someone here now, the struggle you have is not particularly demonic. That's for someone here. There just needed to be order. Because this, everyone turn around, this is is this order. This is the picture of this order. The body is impacted daily by the physical. The body makes contact daily with physical realm. Now, bear in mind, everything in the physical has been impacted by sin. Could you please play softly? It's been impacted by sin. Yeah? It's been impacted by the sin nature. How many times do you sometimes, you didn't even intend, you were not looking to see something horrible. Oh, Father, just please just wash that out because I didn't need to see that. That's what I mean by the physical side engages with the physical realm that is already contaminated. So this one would easily fall if that's the one leading. So the entire person will be doing what? Walking in the way of the flesh. And you cannot be going this direction and be in fellowship with God. Because this is what's happening here. This one is always in fellowship with God. You are one spirit with Him. One spirit with Him. So what can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. It was not about my knowledge of that. That scripture is not just about, I know God loves me, so nothing can separate. No. This is the reality of I cannot be separated from the love of God because I am one spirit with Him. And so the lies and deceptions and the tricks, usually it's in the soul. Pain, attacks and hurts and stuff like that can be in the body. And sometimes when body doesn't feel well, it affects the soul. Am I right? If your toe hurts, it does not matter what's happening. Sooner than later, your mood might change because there's a relationship with all of them. But the Lord is turning our attention back today to the fact that it's meant to be spirit first, soul and body. Spirit, because firstly, you're a spirit being. Thank you very much, ladies. So what happens to us when we're born again, when we get born again, is we give our lives to Christ. We come in, remember, we can come in and be healed and be cleansed, the blood of Jesus. We become part of the kingdom. We're children of God. And yay, the light is switched on. When I say we were connected by Genesis chapter 1. That's the fact that we are made in His image and likeness. I know that the fall switched the light off. This is what happened. But how do I keep the light switched on? I don't mean you're going to have to maybe get born again every second of every moment to keep the light on. No, you've done it. You've become a child of the kingdom. But then I still have to live life. I still have to, I don't know, feed the cat, look after the children, go to work, do all these necessary but busy things, and then my relationship with God suffers. And what does that mean? My awareness of oneness with Him is what suffers. That's actually all we lose. The awareness of our oneness with Him. The awareness of the fact that spirit to spirit, He walks with me and He talks with me and He affirms me steadily that I am His own. I am His own. Because you see, in your soul, you take in the word of God. You are the one that takes in scripture. You are the one that reads the word. You're the one that engages in worship. In your soul, you do the work. And so the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You cannot do anything to redeem your spirit. The blood of Jesus did that. He redeemed our soul. But because our soul engages with our body, because our soul engages with daily life, because our soul engages with the sin nature, gets in contact with stuff, we get to maintain it. We get to read scripture. We get to do the things that maintain the truth that we are one with Him. We get to do the things that turn our attention and keep our focus, that keeps our heart strong, that we are one with Him. That we are one spirit with the Creator of all. Because to release us even into ourselves, He breathed us out of Him. He breathed us out of Him. And so life is busy. And what do? The Lord says, I'll give you greater capacity. And so, please come help me. And so, we plug this in so that I can develop capacity to stay connected and still do life. To stay aware of my oneness with God and still do life. Please unplug that, the black. Yeah. To stay united in spirit and still do life. And other things get plugged in. The point I'm trying to make is you stay plugged in. You stay connected. And then you keep doing life. And then, as in, please hear me. He kept saying was get these ones. And I thought, Lord, what is this? It's the same thing. But I'm standing here and He's saying to me, this one is different from this one. Because this one can only go so far. But if your main focus is staying connected, then at the end of the day, you need something that keeps you connected and helps you switch off and on when you have to. Because to disconnect there, you have to disconnect the whole thing. How does this happen? It happens as we grow. It happens as we grow in the Word. It happens as we grow in revelation. Because initially when you're kids, you know, you just read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. And so you kind of do that and just think, okay, yeah, that's going to work. But then life happens some other ways. I realize I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying. And yeah, I'm growing only thus far because, like Becca rightfully said, oh, the wilderness grows you. Places of quietness with Him grows you. And so what you get to do now is be able to choose what stays on. So I'm not distracted. So I don't have to literally switch off everything in my life to engage with God. How do I do life when there's so much to do, but then there's just one me, you know, there's just one me. I don't know how to do this. God is saying to us today, I believe our Father who loves us is saying to us today, you never actually have to leave home to do life. I just demonstrated to you how we can be seated in heavenly places with Christ and be walking the earth and doing the things we're meant to be doing, fulfilling purpose and destiny. Because how do we know the mind of God? How do we know his thoughts, his very thoughts? The Bible says that Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will give us power. He will come with power. And then he will reveal the thoughts of God. He will transfer the thoughts of God. Jesus was saying, Holy Spirit will take what is mine and what is my Father's is mine. And so everything that God has, his thoughts, his plans, his wisdom, all of that, we have access to. So you literally can stay plugged in, fully aware of your oneness with him. The light staying switched on is because it's plugged in. You don't plug in, you don't get connected with God when you go to church. We are supposed to leave connected. Oh, it might be, I might feel a stronger sense of his presence when I'm with maybe other Christians or I'm doing certain things. But in truth, it's because I'm staying intentionally plugged into him. I already plugged in when I gave my life to him. You already plugged in when you gave your life to him. You already plugged in when you had Jesus come into your heart. But how do you maintain that? It seems like there should be a bigger answer than stay aware. Hold on to that truth. Just hold on, because that truth isn't changing. Scripture is not going to be erased, that he who is born of God is one spirit with him. Please find me that scripture. He who is born of God is one spirit with him is not going to be taken out of the Bible. So it's either you believe it or you don't. Am I still one spirit with him when I'm fornicating? I'm going to go there. The Bible says that you sin against your own body. You're doing it with your body. You're causing your soul to engage. You're opening doors and giving access to the enemy. Do you understand? That's what happens. But did you stop belonging to him? No. That's what makes it a sin. That's what makes it a defilement of his temple. Because if the moment you do it, you're no longer his, then it's not a sin because it's yours. Does that make sense? But the reason why it's a sin is because you belong to him and you are connected with him, and this has nothing to do with that. So you're in violation. And I'm using fornication just because it was easier to separate, it's something like to do with the body, the act of a body. But even when in our mind, in our soul, You stay connected just by being pure and holy. But Valerie, it can be difficult. The world is all broken. Yes, it's broken. And, you know, we were born into it broken as well. But there is a truth that even as Becca shared earlier, even in our brokenness, it's the power of God that heals us. It's His very presence that puts that gold in the crack. We belong to Him. Someone here has to actually believe that today. You belong to God. You are not your own. And I'm not talking about in service right now. Please let me know how much time I have left. I'm not talking about in service right now. Okay. No, I'm not talking about I give myself away so you can use me. He uses you because you belong to Him. So a lot of things we've got it wrong, and so we struggle when it comes to intimacy with Him. We struggle when it comes to a connection with Him. We really might struggle with these things, but in truth, it's because we are believing a lie. And the lie is that we can actually be without Him. He made us as one with Him. He made us for communion and fellowship constant. So I'm going to ask someone, please, is there anyone here who has an experience, as in you've experienced the presence of God more tangible at one time than the other? As in a very personal way, not just maybe because you were at church. Something like as random as maybe you were at home, maybe even doing nothing. He just seemed to invade your space. Anyone have that? Anyone suddenly have thoughts about someone and you were not even praying? You pick up the phone and talk to them and it turns out to be this whole deep prophetic word thing. And they're like, oh, thank you for your prayers. And you're like, I wasn't even praying. Anyone in a time of fasting, or maybe just, because fasting is different things for different people. Anyone in a time of focusing on God, let me put it that way, realize just how much more spiritually sensitive you are. You seem to pick up absolutely everything. I sometimes call that just being, you know, when you were a child and you overhear conversations because you were around the adults. Because you weren't praying. You were not, you're just more aware of your oneness with Him. More aware of being present with God. And so we can sing out songs that we did not know. Because sometimes it's almost kind of like you heard it and you knew it. And so now you're singing it out. I don't know if that's happened even to you, but for me, when I get songs, that's kind of how it happens. I don't plan on writing a song or singing. I used to run away from singing. The Lord had to heal me because I was told my voice was too deep. And so I grew up with that, and I would usually not want to sing in public. And He was like, but that's part of the plan for your life, so what are we going to do about that? And so over the years, I just kind of like, okay, I surrender to this. And then allowed myself to engage with Him when I sing. And once I forget about everyone else, I'm okay. That's how I had to do it. Exactly what I'm talking about. Maintaining fellowship of who He is. There was a day I was actually rushing into Marks and Spencer's and Lakeside Shopping Center to pick up something. And I just heard something. And so usually what I do is I grab my phone and I start to record it because I'm like, hey, I'm hearing a song. So sometimes they're like, oh, you wrote it. I'm like, how can I explain to you that I didn't really write it? Sometimes it's like, Lord, I know I'm not plagiarizing this, but I know I didn't. I wrote it. But I feel like I didn't write it, like I heard it. And I had to pause each time and listen. Please stop. Because, yeah, I was saying to you, thank you. Just because I may not be able to find which key it is, and then I'll be waiting to catch it. There was a day I was walking, and then I felt like the Lord did this to me. And I didn't hear any words, but I felt I was singing what I sensed. Because you see, the moment I felt like the tap on my shoulder, it was as if I decided to switch off my other senses, if that's the best way to put it. I decided to just turn all three and to engage with him spirit to spirit. Because remember, I've embraced the truth that we are one. And so in a split second, he can tell me a whole book. Do you understand? Because in the spirit, there's no time. So you hear people say downloads because it happens just like that. And I heard, I was walking and I literally was like, "You say you love me, that I'm not forsaken. You're always with me. I'm never alone. You are my beauty, and I am your treasure. You'll never leave me. I'm not on my own. I am your own." Lord, I hear you saying that you want me nearer, to lean in much closer, hear what's on your heart. Your ways are so perfect, your love everlasting, your life so redeeming. You are my reward, I am your own. And then I go, "Lord, your whispers and your words giving life to my soul. Lord, your whispers and your words giving life to my soul. I hear you saying that you want me nearer, to lean in much closer, hear what's on your heart." I was like, do you understand? So when I say it was from a tap. And so I was put into words the conversation that was happening, even though I didn't hear a song. And this is in the midst of me rushing because a friend is waiting to pick me up. And I'm like running. So by the time I get to the car, I'm like, "Guess what I heard?" I'm playing it for her. And please understand, I'm not trying to say I'm the example, but to share, I'm just sharing testimony to say, that's how I was learning Unbroken Fellowship. I used to be a hairdresser, and the Lord will say, "I'm sending you someone, and this is the issue in their life, but they're going to come for a hair appointment." Okay. And so they come in, and I start doing hair, and I'm like, "Okay, Father, how do I start this?" And he'll say, "Oh, just ask this question." For there to be that level of even knowing that he said, it's been out of practice and just turning and choosing to engage. From time to time, I stop. I'm like, "I don't feel very aware of you right now, Lord. I need to find you." All I'm saying is, okay, I feel maybe I'm leaning too far here. Everyone, let's lean in. Let's lean in. Let's lean in. Body, I know you're hurting. It's okay. Come on. Come on. Soul, we'll talk about it later. Everyone here, soul is usually the one that has an opinion, yeah? Mind, will, emotions. And that's why David said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" I mean, which part of him do you think was talking to the other part? Him, David. Spirit had to tell soul, "Why are you downcast? Hope in the Lord. Do not be discouraged." That's what's happening when you do that. Because the one that is constantly being affirmed by the one in whose image you're made is strengthening you and letting you know that's not the way, that's not what's supposed to be happening. I'm just seeing a picture of something that happened with me and the Lord, and I'm going to share that. And it's one day I was sitting at home, and usually when the Lord wants my attention, I'll either tell him to do one of two things. Grab your journal or go for a swim. Somehow, whilst I'm swimming, I hear the Lord clearly. We talk. We have this thing where I go into... I mean, the last time I went to swim, and once I get into the locker room, he picks a locker. He said, 401. I said, okay. I went there. You know why I went? Because we've done this often, in the sense that it's going to point me to Scripture. I go in the pool. He said, 401. That's all I held on to. Go in the pool, was swimming, and at 401, the time, literally, I'm swimming back this way. 4:01 the time, could see the clock. He tells me Psalm 40 verse 1. And so I step out of the pool, get my phone, and I read it, and I'm like, it was exactly what I needed to hear. I think it's the one that says something like, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me, and I've been praying about stuff. These are just little ways of staying connected. Do you understand what I'm saying? Little ways of just being sensitive to his heart. And I think the bigger deception is that if God is speaking to you, he must be speaking to you about you. That's another lie. And so you hear people say, I don't really hear God. But that's because you feel he's not talking to you about you. He wants to speak to you about anything. That's what fellowshipping with him means. Where it's not just about, Lord, what are you saying to me, for me, about me, or even about my family, my job, my friends, my nation, my. Once my is in it, it's still you. Sometimes it's just, what's on your heart? Tell me. I want to know how you're feeling. And he will reveal, because remember, spirit to spirit, this is not just for prophets, and this is not just for apostles, and this is not just for the evangelists or the pastors or the teachers. It's not for the ones who've been in Christ for 100 years or 50 years or 30 years. The moment you step in, it's your portion. The moment you step in, it's your reality. The moment you give your life to Christ, one spirit with him, reborn. The light is switched on, and you have access to absolutely everything. And some things he will give you as time goes on. And so, yeah. Thank you for letting me know I could be quirky, because that's why I said you see, everything was just set up for me, because this is what ministry for me is. Where it gets serious. You were thinking I give myself away? Uh-huh. You give yourself away, you're going to wear boots and tool belt in public. And so, this is what it looks like. And, you know, you come in, and as you go, it's as if you get strapped. Because guess what? It's not, the life is no longer about you. And then, you might get prophecy. It fits in here. It's a tool that's going to work. And then we get word of knowledge. And then you grow in love. And all the other tools start to fall into place. And a lot of the times, you don't even know you have the tool until the moment appears. And it's as if suddenly, ooh, there's a hammer. Why? You positioned yourself. You signed in for your tool belt. You said, Lord, this is more than about me. To be in unbroken fellowship with God, you need to operate in love. Just love. And it's love for one another. Love is not selfish. If it's all about me, 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 you would never operate in the gifts of the Spirit, because I don't know how you're going to be giving yourself a word of knowledge, giving yourself the word of wisdom, giving yourself prophecy, giving yourself all of it. The Bible says it's for all. It's for all. Please keep me on track with time. Yeah. Let me know when I have first 5 minutes left, please. Thank you. It's for all of us. And so once it becomes about, okay, I'm in the kingdom now. Tell me, what do I do? How are you, God? I remember once I was kneeling by my bed. This was quite many years ago. I was talking to the Lord. I was just kneeling, writing in my journal. And just talking. And then I went, okay, enough about me now. how are you, Lord? And he said, do you really want to know? I said, yes. He said, do you really want to know? I said, yes. Valerie, you really want to know? By this time I realized, you know, when he said it again, it then dawned on me. His voice sounded sober, like, you know, quite serious. And I was like, yes, I want to know. And suddenly I was in a vision and I saw myself. I don't know how I got there. All I know is that somehow I was somewhere, but I knew I was in Australia. And I was standing in the midst of these people. And I was weeping. I was kneeling in my room, weeping, but still present with him, wherever he was in Australia, saying, my heart hurts because they don't know me. Because you see, here I was in my bed, weeping, screaming. Why? I could feel his emotions. Remember, one with him. And so he said, you wanted to know how I'm doing. They don't know me. And I was like, okay. And then he said, if I send you, will you go? And my soul kicked in. Yeah, this is where you know spirit, soul, and body is real. My body is kneeling and crying. Tears are running down. So the emotions, obviously, that is causing the crying is in the soul, right? So soul responds. It's where spirit was engaging with God. Soul goes, excuse me, Australia is really far. So I literally had a moment where I'm like, shut up, just... No, we're not doing this. That was my, why are you downcast on my soul moment? But the other way around. No, you be quiet. Lord, whatever you want. I started with trepidation, but, you know, I was like, if that's what you want, fine. No problem. If you set it up, I will go. And then it ends. And I'm in a heap on my floor, just weeping my eyes out. Not because of anything other than the people I saw. That he said, they don't know me. They don't know me. And in that moment, if I allowed the rebellious part of my soul, because the whole soul is not a bad thing. Do you understand? Your soul has been redeemed. It's just we need to train it and say, that's what Paul was doing when he wrote the various letters. Okay, you're born again now. Those of you that used to steal, don't steal anymore. Those of you that, you know, are lazy, you need to work. That was the renewing of the mind. That was for the soul because the soul has been trained a certain way. And so that part was afraid. Oh, it's too far. It might be inconvenient. But you have to, you know, maintain your oneness with him. There are other times he was trying to communicate something to me. Someone came to mind. I just finished speaking to a person on the phone like 20 minutes before or so. Going around minding my business, I think I was folding some clothes at home and then... I just felt the presence of God so strong. I'm like, okay, so Lord, what's up? Because I wasn't particularly doing anything that I felt, you know, should bring his presence in that way. And he said to me, well, this person, he was saying something to me, but I just couldn't catch it. So he literally said, Valerie, I'm going to make you feel what I'm feeling. And just I believe it was like, maybe like a spot, forget even a spot, tiny bit. I felt like I was going to die. I really started wailing. I felt like my heart was breaking. I was wondering, why isn't this person listening to me? And then I was like, Lord, why am I feeling all of this? And then he spoke again. He said, you see what you're feeling? That's how I'm feeling. Like I'm with this particular son of mine. I've done everything and I've been trying to tell him, all you need to do is just come. I'm not angry with you. Pick up the phone and call him. So I picked up the phone, crying, a mess. God says, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and he was like, he went quiet. I'm like, why are you quiet? He said, all I've done today at church was cry, God, stop being angry with me. Stop being angry with me. And so it made sense because the sense of, I don't want to say frustration, but what I felt was the Lord's heart almost breaking, like he's repeating the same thing. And I am here saying, no, I'm not angry, just come. But he's stuck in, you are angry, I can't come. And there was that tug of war. And when I went and I shared with him, of course he then, you know, I think, you know, did what he had to do. I just wanted to get off the phone, like, don't ever make me feel that again. Go to God. Do you understand? We just have to be aware of him. And another time, there was a client I came to get her hair done. As she's walking towards me, the Lord says, Valerie, she's just been initiated in witchcraft. She needs to be delivered today. I'm like, yay, okay, let's do this. Why? Not because I felt I could. I have my tool belt. He's going to put what I need in there, and I'm going to pull it out. Do you understand? And so in doing that, I said, okay, so how do I bring it up? I can't just go, hey, how do you start that conversation? And so she sat, and I started to do her hair. And I said to her, he said to me, ask her what she did for Halloween. So I said, hey, so what did you do for Halloween? Because I think Halloween was the weekend before. She goes, oh, it was so amazing. My best friend is a witch. And she did this special ceremony for me. And she confirmed what the Lord had just said. And that was where, you know, the weave on one side, Bible on the other side, yeah, went into explaining certain things to her. And praise God, she gave her life to Christ that day and just really caught the right way. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not because I'm sharing this, and it's not because of anything other than just choosing to believe truth, that irrespective of what's going on here, I'm one with him. Do you realize that it's that truth that causes you to live holy? It's that truth. When I was much younger, I know I look young. I'm actually turning 42 in December. But when I was much younger, and I was like, oh Lord, you know, fornication, I'm sorry. He's like, just picture me there. Aha. Yeah, we're one. Listen, we're one, we're tight. Picture me there. If it's okay with you, then you know what our relationship means to you. That was deliverance in itself. Do you understand? There are some things that's why I'm saying, some things are just a soulish thing. There are times when the Lord, you know, there was a time he said to me, you don't have a problem. You have permitted yourself in your soul by saying, that sin, God forbid, this one, not so bad. And that's why I'm saying some things are a decision you can make, because your will, you use your will to choose. Your will is right there in your soul. Your soul is redeemed. Your will has the capacity. The moment you get born again, your will has the capacity for godliness, for righteousness, and to choose everything that is of God, to choose God, to choose him, to choose him. It's a choice. I'm not saying there are no spiritual struggles. I'm not saying the enemy is not there. But the first part of breakthrough is to choose. Is to decide no more. Is to decide I want this. How many of us want a greater depth of intimacy with God? Anybody want more? Because I want more. There was a day the Lord said, let's go for a walk. And I walked out in front of my house. That day, I remember I wasn't even in the mood to walk. But I had to just, okay, Father, I'll do this. And I started to walk around. There's a field in front of the house I live in. So I started to walk around the field. And by the third time, I heard myself singing something. And I said, oh, thank you, Father, for asking me to walk. Because this is how you continue to stay in alignment. Maybe I had to walk around that field. By the third time, my spirit was, you know, I was paying attention. My spirit was more, I was more yielded. I was more present in before him in my spirit than I was before. Do you understand? Because like I said, before I got up to go for the walk, I was very comfortable, you know, not wanting to do anything. And I heard myself singing, align my feet in your path for me. I was just walking around. Align my feet in your way for me. I choose your path. I choose your ways. Align my feet in your path to stay. I choose your path. I choose your ways. Align my feet in your path to stay, oh Lord. And I thought, okay. So that's what we're doing. And now I decided to just sing it and walk around and say, I am consciously and intentionally. So guess what happened? That was a spirit moment. Now I chose to use my soul, because now I'm using my will to choose to sing. I'm using my will to choose to walk one more time and say, align my feet in your path for me. Align my feet in your way for me. I choose your path. I choose your ways. Align my feet in your path to stay. I choose your path. I choose your ways. Align my feet in your path to stay. Oh Lord. That's what's led me here today. On that day, I chose today. On that day, I chose to walk here today. Does that make sense? Well, we didn't walk here, we drove here, but you know what I mean. On that day, I chose to be present here because I was saying yes once again to something bigger. I was leaning into the Spirit and saying more. And that's all. Fellowship is just simply, you know, in church we say fellowship. What is fellowship? The same thing you do with the other ladies is what God wants you to do with Him. That's all. Starts off by just being aware. Believe the truth and choose to be aware of Him. Take moments in the moments in the day where you're just like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to focus on you now. I just want to focus on you. I want to remember you, because sometimes the day is so busy. It's like you have to go out of your way to remember the Lord. But Lord, I want to be so aware of you throughout the day that I pause moment by moment and I'm like, Jesus, where are you in this room? Where are you? Where are you? Found you. And maybe not found Him there. And hey, if you chose to manifest there, great. But found Him here. Does that make sense? Found Him. And when you find Him, strength is present. Peace is present. Joy is present. Grace is present. Power is present. Life is present. Can we please stand? Because I want each person to just pray and talk to the Lord about being more aware of Him. Embracing the truth of who you are in Him. It does not matter what your challenge is. What matters more is the fact that there is a truth that can never be removed from the Word. He who is born of God is one spirit with Him. One spirit with Him.